League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, welcome to this holiday edition, Christmas special, whatever you'd like to call it, a spectacular version of Jay Flemma Sports Report. I am Jay Flemma, and you are listening to the Golf News Net on iHeartRadio. Well, welcome, everybody. It's time to wrap up 2024. It's been quite a remarkable year in the world of sports, especially in golf, and we're very much looking forward to the start of the ski season as well. So we're going to kick off all of that in this extended episode. Let's open the show by my own little Christmas present for all of you, everybody. I'm taking you on a trip to Ireland. That's right, our European correspondent, Brian Keogh of the Irish Sun, is here. We're going to talk a lot about the European Tour, well, the DP World Tour now, as it's called. We'll talk about the majors, and we'll definitely get into Royal Portrush and talk a little bit about some of Brian's favorite courses in Ireland. So, Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jay. Yeah, lovely to be here.
How are things over on the other side of the pond?
Well, there's not much golf going on at the moment. It's still kind of cold and frosty in the mornings and a little bit of rain, typical December weather. So people are trying to get their golf fix maybe on the golf ranges or out in some of the links courses, which you can still play at this time of the year. But the parklands are all a little bit soft and a lot of preferred lies and temporary greens be coming into play now soon. So not a great time of the year for golf in Ireland, but you can still play.
Well, we'll get to where you've been playing and where to play in a little bit. But first, let's turn to the DP World Tour. So break it down for us. How did the season finish out?
Yeah, well, Rory McIlroy won the race to Dubai, you know, for the sixth time, which was tremendous performance, really, a third time in a row, and the sixth time overall, you know, which is an unbelievable record. So he's, you know, he's up there in heady company. He's matched Severiano Ballesteros with six wins. You know, Seve won the Order of Merit, as it used to be called, six times. So he's in heady company. You know, he's only a couple shy of the all-time record holder, Colin Montgomery, who won it eight times. So I think that's very much within Rory's compass now. I mean, he's only, he's not going to be 36 until May. So still plenty of gas left in the tank there, I think.
It really has been a wonderful resurgence to see McIlroy competing as well as he has at the highest level, turning back the clock almost to 2014. He just hasn't had the last bit of gas in the tank to close out a major in a while. But take us through the final weeks of the race to Dubai and tell us how the back and forth went between everybody that was in contention to win it over the course of the last few tournaments.
Yeah, well, Rory McIlroy really had it wrapped up pretty much, you know, with a few weeks to go. I mean, Tristan Lawrence from South Africa was, a threat to him coming into the last couple of events. But really, it was pretty much a done deal with a few weeks to go. You know, after Rory finished, you know, second in the Irish Open and second in the BMW PGA at Wentworth, he really had a massive lead. And then he finished third in Abu Dhabi, you know, the week before. So really, all he had to do was stay upright, really, in the final round, you know, in Dubai, where he is a great record. And what did he do? He went on and he won the tournament. He won the tournament as well. So, fourth win of the year for Rory. He had won with Chain in the Zurich Classic, and he won in Dubai earlier in the year. You know, won Quail Hollow as well. You know, so a pretty good season for Rory McIlroy. Yeah, although you know he'd probably I think he only gave him a 7.5 out of 10 with the majors again. That's the bar for Rory over the last decade or so, and he hasn't been able to get over the line just yet.
Well, it's a combination also if you had Koepka getting red hot for a period of time and playing very dominant golf, and then just Rory's putter not getting out of the trunk of the car on Sundays all too often in 2023 and 2024. But it is great to see him in winning form. Who would you pick for Rookie of the Year on the DP World Tour? Give us a couple of names.
Yeah, well, Rookie of the Year. I mean, you know, there's been a few players that have played well, you know, this year. It's really hard to, you know, to pick out anybody in particular. But you know, I think, you know, young Tom McGibbon, it wasn't quite his rookie year, but he had a, you know, an Irish guy who had a great rookie season last year. He backed it up this year, you know, by finishing, you know, 18th in the race to Dubai. He got one of those PGA Tour cards, you know. So he's been tremendous this year, you know. So I think he's probably one of the names that, you know, we look at here in Ireland, you know, very much as one of the guys to really look out for over the next few years.
Outstanding. So now bring us up to date on what's been happening over at LIV.
Over at LIV, well, the negotiations are still going on, aren't they, between the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour. I mean, this week we've got you know, the LIV Golf Promotions event. It's sort of their equivalent of the Q School, you know, and you've got you know, five Irishmen in the field for that, which is making it might be a little bit parochial for you guys, but there's still a lot of interest in that tour because, you know, you can, if you don't even get a LIV Tour card, you can get a, you know, a membership of the you know, the International Series and play those Asian Tour events as well, you know. So there's a lot of money at stake, and you know, guys are still wondering what's going to happen. I was talking to Seamus Power, you know, about this just earlier this week, and he's a member of the Player Advisory Council on the PGA Tour, and he says even he doesn't know what the future holds or how they're going to fold these LIV guys or the PIF into the future professional golf. So we're going to have to wait and see, but I think everybody would agree that, you know, not seeing these great players, you know, the Dustin Johnsons and people like that in you know, the in pl playing in regular events outside the majors is you know, is a big miss for everybody, and we'd like to see more of those guys, you know, the Brooks Koepkas of the world over the next few years. John Rahm obviously as well joining this year. So, you know, it's a big problem for world golf. You know, they're a disruptor, and how it's gonna pan out, we'll just have to wait and see. It's not gonna be easy. I think you know, the players have so much power these days that you have to find a way of maybe forcing their hand a little bit and forcing them to play in some sort of schedule of events, whether that's at the end of you know, the PGA Tour season in the sort of fall period, when there's a little bit more room for maneuver, maybe a little bit like you know, soccer in Europe. You know, have a you have your different leagues, and then you have the Champions League. Maybe they can be a there can be a sort of a Champions League of golf in the future, as you know, I think Bryson DeChambeau, you know, another LIV player, has suggested as well. You know, that might be a way forward. Maybe a series, you know, of 10 events or so that they could play at different times of the year that would count for all tours. But we'll have to wait and see.
Different formats would be a good idea as well too. It's nice to see that they did mix up, say, with the match play instead of just having the ordinary 64 team bracket, doing it a bit like soccer where they had it in four, you know, in groups of four. Is there any rumblings whatsoever about the possible involvement of Donald Trump in the negotiations?
Well, there's been talk. He did say, you know, that he'd get the whole thing sorted in 5 minutes, and he certainly has a lot of sway in the world of golf. So it's a matter of, you know, Elon Musk. I think Rory McIlroy mentioned him as well as being, you know, somebody who could possibly come up with some ideas, you know. But I don't know if that was tongue or cheek or not, but certainly, you know, Trump has some sway in the world of golf, although perhaps not with the RNA, who don't want to host the Open in Turnberry while he owns it. So again, it's a mystery what's going on with those negotiations. There's a lot of money involved, and a lot of player power as well that has to be negotiated, you know. So, you know, whether the LIV players want to come back and be part of the PGA Tour in some way as well, as it remains to be seen. Some of them have said they don't. So you know, we just have to wait and see. It's not an easy problem to solve, is it?
Well, you brought up a number of fascinating points in there. It's a huge bone to chew on with regards to A, the money, B, the bad blood. Let me ask you this: the players, what is your feeling with regard to the players as to how happy or not are they that Trump won the election as opposed to Kamala Harris?
I haven't really heard much from the European players on that. I don't think they take too much interest in American politics. Certainly, on the US side, there seems to be maybe a little bit more, Republican leaning, perhaps. Would that be fair to say, Jay? Quite a few of them would be friends with Donald Trump and have played golf with them. But I think the players, as regards Liv, your rank and file European Tour players are not happy about some of those guys coming back to be part of the DP World Tour after Liv basically took several DP World Tour venues from them over the last couple of years. So there's still a fair bit of bad blood there between the rank and file European Tour guys and Liv, and it's not going to be easy to resolve, but there's certainly an opportunity there for the DP World Tour, perhaps to do some sort of deal with the PIF over the next few years. They certainly need all the clout they can get.
You have any sort of finger on the pulse of what the general ordinary citizen of the UK thinks of the American election? Are citizens of Britain and Ireland happy that Donald Trump is president?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think Donald Trump would be regarded as a very popular figure on this side of the Atlantic, certainly, with all the controversy that went on over the January, was it the January 6th riots, and all the certainly some of the more outlandish statements made by him over the past few years. I think they would have been probably happier to see Kamala Harris win the election, but it is what it is. There's a lot of obviously worry in Europe with the war in Ukraine, and war in Europe, and what will happen. Will he appease Vladimir Putin and allow him to take Ukrainian territory? So there's a lot of misgivings about Donald Trump, and worry as well about his trade plans as well, especially with so many multinationals enjoying special tax status in Ireland, like Apple, for example. This is He wants to stop all that as well. So that would be a major problem for Ireland, which depends on huge US multinational investment for employment here.
Maybe we should hope then that he will focus his efforts on LIV and the PGA Tour.
Maybe, maybe.
Keep him away from
I think.
everything else that's worrying you good folks.
Yeah.
I'll just say this very quickly. There is hope in America. There's also sadness, not a lot of it, but there's another election in 4 years. So whatever side we're on,
Sure.
4 years from now we get to rebound. It's nice to
Yeah.
be. It's nice that both of our shared histories are linked so beautifully throughout history for so long. So, anyway, moving back to the interesting things about what's happening in the golf world. One of the observations that I have with regard to all of this, and you brought this up, is the lack of transparency as to what is going on. Okay, it seems like not only does the public generally hear about things when they're done and decided and nobody had any input, but frequently the players don't get any say in what's happening. They just get told this is what we agreed to. And all too often it's a strange compromise. Do you have any idea of any sort of leader in the clubhouse for a resolution of all of this?
Really, just after speaking to Seamus Power there about what's been going on the PGA Tour this year, and the changes that have been voted in, for next the season after next, when it'll only be 100 exempt players on the tour. I think that was kind of a fait accompli, really. That's coming from on high. It's management really that's driving these things, as much as the players as well. Certainly, there's a struggle with the TV product to make that more appealing, to people. People enjoyed the Hero World Challenge last week because there was 20 household names pretty much in the field. It wasn't the strongest field they've ever had, but at least you were guaranteed to have 20 names that you knew, which is tough on the guys playing in those fall series events, which are sort of going, how could this guy be getting into the Masters? We never heard of him, and things like that. To win on the PGA Tour is a massive achievement, no matter what time of the year you play. So, it's a little bit less democratic, perhaps a little bit less, a little bit more of a closed shop. There's a little bit of sadness about that. About the Monday qualifiers and all the other restrictions that are being brought in to make this PGA Tour product more palatable. But certainly, there's a lot of maybe apathy about all the money talk in golf and the absolutely enormous sums of money that people are playing for. I think Scottie Scheffler won $1 million on Sunday. It was the smallest, the second smallest purse maybe on the PGA Tour this year. The guys are playing for $9.5 million every single week, and great time to be an elite professional golfer certainly. But it's certainly becoming more of a closed shop, and more and difficult to establish yourself on these tours.
Hey, it's also costing $17 for a beer and $37 for a rib sandwich, but more on that later. One
And
more question.
a Ryder Cup ticket, Jay.
$750 to go to Bethpage Black. I
Yeah.
always said I didn't like the idea of having it at Bethpage Black. It was going to turn into a circus, and it's turned into a gold-plated one. But we'll
Well.
come back to that after the break. But very quickly, before we go, we've got Brian Keogh here, the Irish Sun, and our European correspondent here, Jay Plemons, Sports Report. I am torn, but I think I'm going to lean towards Xander Schauffele for Player of the Year because of his two major wins, as opposed to Scottie Scheffler's most excellent year with one major and seven wins. If you were, when you are going to cast your vote for PGA Tour Player of the Year, have you given it any thought, and is it cast in stone yet? And if you want to let us know who it is, we'd be delighted to
You know
hear.
what? Oh, well, I don't have a vote in the PGA Tour Player of the Year, but it's very hard to overlook Scottie Scheffler, isn't it? The way he's played this year. When you win the Masters and you win the Players and you win the Olympic gold medal, and you have, I think it was nine wins in total, across the season. That's pretty outstanding. But yeah, I agree with you, Xander Schauffele. I think in any other year, Xander Schauffele would be a shoo-in for that. But Scheffler was just tremendous. It really was.
All right, everybody, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Jay Flama Sports Report on Golf News Net and iHeartRadio. Right back after this. Good segment. I had the only screw up. I got lost in that little, once you gave that most excellent answer and it was time for me to switch over, I just brain farted for a second there, but I'll have Ryan sew that hole. So beautiful. Great job. Excellent insight. Sorry I got you a little off track there, but.
Oh well, yeah, Rookie of the Year. I wouldn't be great on that. I couldn't even remember who won it.
I thought for a minute there that you were more ambushed by, all of a sudden I got sidetracked by Trump.
I know, I know. No, he's not popular in this neck of the woods. He really isn't. It's incredible how popular he is over there. Unbelievable. But there you go.
Well, part of it is that they ran it for shit candidate against him, though. Okay, she was just a rubber ball, or worse than a rubber ball. Okay, at least a rubber ball wouldn't do something negative, it just bounces. Okay, she kept hurting herself, the other one kept hurting themselves. Biden didn't help putting on a Trump hat. Did you see that one? Biden. He put a red Trump hat on at a rally, acting like he was all confused when I'm pretty sure he wasn't. He did that
Wow.
deliberately, I think. There's a lot of
Okay.
scuttlebutt. There's a lot of scuttlebutt on this side of the pond that Biden was sabotaging her at every turn, and that he deliberately picked her to sabotage because when he got forced out, he was like, "Screw you! You guys suck. I'm gonna see." I mean, why else? On election day, would Jill Biden be wearing a flaming red dress? Of all the things to pick. But anyway, all right, let's get back to it. All right, we're going to have some fun. We'll talk about, let's open up Royal Portrush. So, 7, 6, 5, 4. All right, we're back, everybody. I am Jay Flemma. You're listening to Jay Flemma Sports Report on Golf News Net and iHeartRadio. Brian Keough of the Irish Sun is back with us for this segment of our holiday extravaganza. So let's board on a plane and let's take an overnight flight and let's land in Belfast and talk a little bit about this coming year's Open Championship venue. A wonderful, storied, venerable, and gorgeous Royal Portrush, the Dunluce Links. So take it away, Brian. Tell us a little bit about this sparkling seaside golf course that we're only going to see for the second time since the 40s.
Yeah, I mean Royal Portrush, you know, it's arguably the best links course in the country. You know, there's a lot of people would say, you know, Portmarnock maybe might be a slightly fairer course, you know, great course in Dublin, but Royal County Down, you know, with all its blind shots, but just spectacularly beautiful. But you know, Royal Portrush, you know, for many people is probably the, you know, the stoutest test of golf, great driving course. It really is, you know, a great ball strikers golf course, you know, wonderful, wonderful dunes, you know, thick rough, you know, some plateau greens, obviously, you know, that ever-present links wind, just a great test of golf. And what an open we had in 2019 as well, with Shane Lowry, you know, winning in Irish soil as well, you know, to win his first major championship. You know, it was a really memorable week, and it's going to be fantastic. Even bigger crowds next July as well, you know, so we're going to have a few more people there, so it's going to be tremendous. And of course, Rory McIlroy, you know, the hometown favorite as well. Yeah, looking to make up for what happened to him in 2019.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Take us back and let us look at it through your eyes, okay? Start us off with, you know, getting on the plane, landing there, or did you drive? And, you know, what day of the week was it? How many interviews were there? What was all the scuttlebutt? You know, and where was Lowry's name in all of it?
Yeah, well, you know, we'd had the Irish Open, excuse me, in Lahinch a few weeks earlier. And I remember, you know, and it's very rarely that I'll tip, you know, winner of any major championship. I haven't had too much luck with the bookies, but I did tip Shane Lowry to have a really good chance of winning that Open Championship. He was just playing, you know, just extremely well, you know, playing within himself. You know, took a little bit of time off and played some links golf straight after that. So I really fancied Shane. You know, he was under the radar. All the talk was about Rory McIlroy. You know, obviously, you know, top player in the world, shot 61 around Royal Portrush, you know, as a teenager in his amateur days, you know, just playing extremely well. The hot favorite, you know, the hometown boy from, you know, from Northern Ireland, from, you know, not far away, a place where he used to go and play as an amateur and play with his dad when he was a kid, and go up and play with Darren Clark as well when Darren took him under his wing. So, you know, there was a huge amount of pressure on Rory McIlroy, and you know, it's been the problem for Rory in the majors possibly over the last 10 years. The expectations, you know, the expectations were just huge, and you know, it got to him. They
So
got to him.
let's take us through. So Tuesday's practice round, how did things look for Shane and how did things look for some of the other players? Who else was in you know, the talk of being in contention that week before we teed off on Thursday?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, there's always talk about Tiger, isn't it? You know, isn't there? You know, even though, you know, he'd you know, what was that the year he won the Masters?
That was indeed the year he'd won the Masters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was a lot of talk about a lot about Tiger, you know, but the weather wasn't great, you know, it was coldish. And you know, obviously, you know, Tiger, you know, he's a bit of a warm weather player, really, isn't he, with all his injury problems here. So you know, that was there was a question mark about him. Brooks Koepka obviously was
Yeah.
you know, one of the fancied names, Dustin Johnson, people of that ilk, you know, obviously Rory, and to a lesser extent Shane, Tommy Fleetwood, you know, they were the players that you know, people were looking at. And There was a lot of talk about Darren Clark, of course, as well, a former Open champion, on his favorite course in the world as well. He hit the opening tee shot, striped it down the middle, hit it into, about 6 feet, knocked in the birdie putt, and we were off,
It's off and
and
running.
And that first tee was, you had that little horseshoe stand around the first tee. There was an unbelievable atmosphere. The place was absolutely packed, to capacity. And we had a bit of a wait until I think it was around lunchtime when Rory was going off. I think Shane might have been leading on the course at that stage through about nine holes. I think JB Holmes had a good first round. He might have been the early clubhouse leader. And Rory took an iron off the tee, very nervous, and hooked it out of bounds. Made a quadruple bogey eight, and that was kind of the end of the Open for Rory. Really there, I think he went on to triple the last as well and miss, a tiddler on the 16th, the famous, the par three Calamity Corner as well. So just the perfect storm in terms of a disaster for Rory. And that was his Open pretty much done and dusted. He shot 65 on Friday. I mean, it made an unbelievable effort to make the cut, and just missed out by one stroke. But there was a huge amount of interest in Rory that week. And I think by his own admission, the pressure and the expectation, really got to him. And that was the end of that. But we had Shane.
So take us through. We're at the halfway point now. Shane's playing in the final group. Talk to us about the Saturday round and then take us through Saturday evening, all of the various interviews and the scuttlebutt, and then finally take us through Championship Sunday.
Yeah, well, I mean, Shane played unbelievably well. After I think it was in round three, wasn't it? He shot a 63, and he had a four stroke lead. We came in for his press conference, and I remember, it might have been the first or second question. So Shane, four shot lead heading into the final round of a major, and he's, any thoughts about Oakmont, because he'd had the that lead at Oakmont as well, over, I think it was Dustin Johnson
2016, yeah.
in 2016, and didn't handle that as well. And he said, yeah, I was waiting for somebody to ask that, and he was nervous, obviously, about Sunday. He had all his family there. His mother even came up from home, with the Child of Prague, a little religious statue, saying prayers in the clubhouse for him, so he went for a walk with his coach in the morning, in Bush Mills, where he was staying. That's, obviously Bush Mills, home of the famous Irish whiskey, just down the road from Royal
Very
Portrush. And
famous hotel and resort, of course.
and he had a great chat with his coach and everything else. So it was tremendous. Rory, or sorry, Shane, so he was leading on what, 16 under par from Tommy Fleetwood, going into the final round, and it was a difficult for, he bogeyed, I think he made a great par on the first hole, I think, and Tommy Fleetwood missed a birdie putt, and or did he actually, he made a great bogey putt on the first hole, to see his lead cut to just three shots. And Tommy had quite a few chances in those first few holes, and didn't convert them, Shane suddenly then, he birdies four and he birdies five, and he's five clear, and birdied the seventh as well, to go six ahead. And really, it was just counting down the holes from there, in horrific weather. Really was, was a poor day. It was very cold, it was wet, it was miserable. And Shane, brought it home.
What are some of your favorite holes at Portrush, or where are some of the good swing holes where the spectators can see a lot of action?
Yeah, well, that first hole is, there's a lot of grandstands around that one, and it's unusual in that, there's out of bounds both left and right, so while, a lot of guys will be hitting, irons off the tee, just to get it into play. There's a lot of danger there as well. They didn't own, some of the land to the left of the hole back in the old days, so that was all out of bounds. And they've maintained that out of bounds line there as well, which some people say is a little bit unfair to have out of bounds on both sides. But it's a drive and probably a short iron. They've made a few little changes actually to that hole as well for this year's Open. They've it's quite a sloping green, from front to back, so there aren't that many pin positions on it. So they've built a couple of new pin positions there, front left as well. There's a huge bunker as well guarding the front of that green, so if you're going in with a short iron, you'll be able to attack that front pin, but also there's a going to be danger as well of a screen back down off the green and into trouble. So that's one just to get the juices flowing as well. Then obviously the fourth hole, that's just a fantastic it's a fantastic par four. They've added 25 yards to that for this year, so that's a 500 yard par four, out of bounds on the right as well, similar to the, is it the 11th of Troon as well, so yeah, there's a lot of danger, there early on. You got the risk reward fifth, which is a great hole to watch. You can see guys maybe having a rip at the green, getting it down there close, maybe chipping in for an eagle, something like that, so there's some great holes just in the opening salvos there, as well. Then of course you got it's like the 11th, it's just a really another really challenging par four, close on 500 yards. Again, Royal Portrush, it really is a course to where you really have to drive the ball well, as we saw back in 2019. The players that were up there, Kupka was up there, Lowry obviously winning the championship, Tommy Fleetwood, just great ball strikers. That's what it's about really. You've just got to put the ball in play off the tee, avoid that rough, quite a few dog legs as well, so you really have to be able to judge the wind well, play great links golf. So the 11th is one of those key holes, and obviously then the 16th, the par three calamity, 230 odd yards, big chasm, a huge fall off to the right of that green, just absolute death down there to the right, the little bit of a bailout area to the left as well. So that's a tremendous a hole coming in. And then 17 and 18 as well, especially 18, it used to be the 16th, a good strong par four to finish, sort of a medium iron, a lot of trouble off the tee as well, very heavy rough, a lot of lost balls there, in 2019. Rory taking, making seven at the last in the first round as well, people losing golf balls. So it's a stout test, Royal Portrush. It really is a stout test. It'll all depend, on the weather. You get benign weather for the Open, and obviously they'll shoot great scores if it's in any way windy at all, and there's a reasonable spring and a little bit of wet, and the rough gets up. It'll be a great test, and it's going to be fantastic.
For those that will be coming to the tournament and want to take a day or two off to play some golf nearby, where do you recommend?
Well, you can't really do much better than Port Stewart, which is just down the road really from Royal Portrush. They've had the Irish Open there over the years. The Strand course, just a beautiful, beautiful links golf course. It really is tremendous, and then of course you're not too far away really from Donegal there, as well. There's just fantastic links golf in Donegal, with Ballyliffin obviously with its two courses, and you've got Rosapenna with three courses now. Got the Tom Doak, the new Tom Doak, St. Patrick's links there, and then just further down the coast, you got Nairn an Port Nue, where Gil Hanse and Jim Wagner, redesigned the golf course. So that's just three or four there, within an hour's drive, an hour and a half's drive of Royal Portrush, where you can go and even head further west down the Irish coast to County Sligo. The Great Links golf course as well, that's really come on in leaps and bounds in recent years. At Harry Colt, as well, like Royal Portrush. So there's a few that just fantastic, and obviously obviously, if you're flying into Belfast, you're not too far from Royal County Down, from Ardglass, links courses like that, and Great City Golf as well. Some fantastic parkland courses in Belfast, at Royal Belfast and Shandon Park and places like that. Just great golf.
So the day after the Open, if we don't happen to win the lottery to get to play Royal Portrush after we cover it, where are you taking me to play?
Well, I'd recommend heading, to Rosapenna, because it's just a wonderful resort. There's the old Tom Morris course there as well. It's just fantastic. It was a resort back in the day before, there were when transport was difficult, and people would get the boat from Scotland and to the North Coast. So there's three great golf courses there, great hotel there, just beautiful scenery, fantastic food as well. You've got all the all the fresh fish, the crab claws coming from the pier just down the road to the hotel, and great pubs, a couple of pints of Guinness. What more can you ask for?
Are they closer than the courses in, say, Dublin?
Well, they would be a little bit closer to Royal Portrush, than the courses in Dublin, certainly. Yeah, you'd have a 3 hour drive maybe down to Dublin, where great links as well. And on the way down, you can play, County Louth, and then in Dublin you've got the Island and courses like that. So in
Port
Royal
Marnock.
Dublin, Port Marnock, and then south maybe to the European Club, which is up for sale at the moment. So you've got, wonderful, wonderful places to play golf without having to
And
go
then
anywhere near the southwest.
your little hometown of Laytown and Beddiston.
Laytown and Beddystown, yeah, that's just across the River Boyne from County Louth. Just a lovely little 18-hole links, little sporting kind of links. Not the longest course in the world, but just tremendous test. And Des Smith grew up there, learned all his golf there. Great wind player, Ryder Cup player, oldest winner on the European Tour for quite a long time. And still potters around there as well. Sea Point Golf Links as well, which is right next to County Louth, Beltray. That's another lovely golf course. So there's just a wealth of courses really to play in Ireland, and obviously we've got a huge number of links courses, and that's what you guys like to play when you come over, because you don't get a chance to play that. And I think the North Coast obviously is tremendous, but and the Northwest and the Wild Atlantic Way all the way down that coastline, there's just a huge number of courses to play, and it'll be a memorable time for the people to come over.
Well, you're invited out to the Mountain West Bureau of Golf News Net. I'll take you up to my new adopted home of Wine Valley, which we'll be hearing a lot about very soon. Brian Keogh, the Irish Sun and our European correspondent, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. You're going to pick where you're going to send me after we get done covering the Open. I want to hear about it, okay? Pick something, and then I'm going to start planning. So
All right.
we'll be back
It's a
after
deal.
this, everybody.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.